The title of today's sermonette is The Two Trees and Obey Every Jot and Tittle of Our Fathers. Now, on the first draft of this sermonette, I titled it, "Here, try this fruit. It's delicious," said rhetorically, meaning from Satan's deception. So the purpose of this sermonette is also to give a gestalt understanding of how important it is for us to follow every jot and tittle of God's Bible and examples of why we must follow God's Bible every jot and tittle, and not the Hillel 2 calendar. For as you know, we were created, man was created in God's image, and it was so that man could be like God, and not so man could do whatever he wants. We know that the scriptures say that God will not save anyone that he cannot command. And scriptures also say in John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." Now, God saves only those that follow his commands. And there is a tree of knowledge of good and evil out there, that thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And that starts right out in Genesis 2. Remember that some congregations haven't even got the first chapter of Genesis right, where lights will mark festivals. Well, then in Genesis 2, they haven't got that right either, because they're eating of the wrong tree, of the knowledge of evil. And it says in Genesis 2:17, "Thou shalt not eat of it. You shall not choose for yourself holy days, or average God's days, or change God's ways, or you will surely die." So we are now going to segue into a point here before everyone tries to get out of it on any new listeners by bringing up Colossians 2:14, which the naysayers take pride in mistranslating, that say, "Well, the law was nailed to the cross. It's all nailed to the cross. We don't have to follow anything. Christ did it all for us." Well, all please turn to Colossians 2:14, and we'll see what it says. And I myself am reaching for it now. And it says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the middle, having nailed it to the cross." Now, what did he take out of the middle? Well, in the first century, it was a list of charges, not the law. In the center of the courtroom, there was a list of charges against the accused, and it was known as the Kiographon. And this scripture is saying that Christ has taken the list of charges against us and nailed the charges to the cross. Now, this is important, because if you look at the exact translation, the requirements could not be nailed to the cross, because the scriptures say the word "it." It is a singular pronoun, and requirements is plural. So again, requirements could not be its antecedent, because requirements is plural, and "it" refers to the handwriting. And that's what's taken out of the middle, is the list of charges that are against us. Now, that's what was nailed to the cross. Now, if we look further into it historically, there were only two objects that were ever nailed to the stake. And we do say stake instead of cross, but we're just using the Bible's translations. And there were two objects that were nailed to the stake. One was the condemned person, and the second object was the inscription naming the crimes for which he was being punished. And when Jesus was crucified, his body was nailed to the stake and Pilate's inscription. And as a sidebar, Pilate's inscription was very kind, because it didn't say this man was a traitor and rebelled against Caesar. What it said was, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." So Pilate gave a complimentary inscription that replaced the customary note or record of guilt. And that's the list of charges against the accused that were nailed to the cross. And this doesn't just go for Jesus. There were four others that were beside him on stakes. And on those four other stakes, there were lists of charges of the other stakes. So we can get into our sermonette here without having to worry about the naysayers having any leg to stand on by saying that the laws of God were nailed to the cross, because they never were. And it's quite clear in Paul's letter to the Galatians, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, Galatians 3:24. And before a person knows any of God's truth, he even lives without thinking of the laws of God. The carnal, unconverted mind is at war with God, Romans 8:7. In fact, concerning the things of God, they seem foolish to him. The crescent moon seems foolish to him. And it doesn't say the crescent moons, but in 1 Corinthians 2:14 it says it seems foolishness to him. Now the point is that we want to follow God because we love him. And once a person realizes that the law of God exists, then that is a phenomenal paradigm shift, because then he knows that he has committed various sins against God, and that sins carry the death penalty, Romans 6:23. And it's a quite shocking realization when you realize that the laws of God carry a death penalty if you violate them. And Jesus took away the list of charges against us. So if you're a speeder and you have your speeding ticket forgiven, that's a good thing. But the law against speeding doesn't stop, and you can't keep speeding the rest of your life. And you know what Romans 3:31 says? So do we make void the law? No. Remember, the law is our schoolmaster that we just read in the scripture. And it was that the list of charges against us was taken out of the way. So now we can move forward with the sermonette and state that Jesus has a better way, and that way is the knowledge of the two trees. And the two trees means that daily, both you and I have to choose the correct tree to eat from, and not to eat from any of man's trees, and to only obey God's word. Now, there was a tree that stood in the middle of the garden, and it was called Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. And this applies to the Hillel 2 calendar, which is a very, very intricate calendar. But it is a knowledge of an evil thing, because it's moving God's holy days 2 days to 1 day as an average early. And that means that people work on holy days, which will put them in the lake of fire. That is why we must never eat any of the fruit of the knowledge of men's. Then just stick with what is written in the Bible. And that's what Triumph Prophetic Ministries does. Now, the spirit of evil had entered into the serpent, who is more cunning than any other beast. The Bible says so. And he came to Eve and said, is it true that you are not allowed to eat certain fruit in the garden? And Eve says, we can eat of any fruit except from this one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Well, we all know what happened next. They were kicked out of the garden because they ate of it. So we, you and I, have a job to do every day, and that is to obey God by choosing the right fruit every day. And Yeshua's got everything you need. Why would you want another man like Hillel 2? Yeshua has got everything you need. Are people, you know, insane that they need to go to a man to find God's truth? Well, Satan has deceived the whole world, and there's no way around that. The scriptures clearly say that. Now, in my fine print here, Satan today is trying to trick us into believing lies, to twist his word into lies so it'll fit our lifestyle. Sure, it's very easy to have an averaging calendar and just know ahead of time when the days are, but when the fall feast days come up, we have to check, and we will be checking, to see that our anticipated days are accurate by the crescent new moon. And it's not hard to do these days because it's on the internet and it's very easy to do. The point is, we don't twist around the scriptures. Now, it does say in the Bible that the gate is narrow, and each year we should be closer down the road that the gate that you have passed through has led you to. You know, I think this year I hope I've put 2 more feet down the road inside the gate by giving up some sins and my lifelong struggle with certain issues, and I've made some great progress. So I've moved 2 more feet inside the gate. You know, my head sometimes thinks, I wonder what it's like outside the gate, but I've already found the gate and I've come inside the gate. And I keep my head inside the gate. And we all must control our thoughts also. That's part of staying inside the gate. It's not that we don't have thoughts of anger, etc. It's that you catch yourself and you stop yourself at that second from further thoughts. And that's how you stay inside the gate. And the gate is narrow and it's difficult. And it's a way that leads to life, but there are few. Read Matthew 7, 13, 14. There are few who find it. God has a better plan for everybody, and there's going to be a series, well, we won't get into that, of how the resurrections work at this time. But right now, for us, in the first fruits, there are few, Matthew 7, 13, who find it. And Jesus couldn't have made it any clearer. He said few. And that's what God's Bible says. But it's Satan who takes all the lies. And basically Satan is saying that the losers get to go to heaven. Well, God says the exact opposite. The overcomers take to the kingdom. And we translate that from heaven into the kingdom of God. And that's clear in Revelation 2:21-7, where it says that the overcomers take all, not the losers take all. So, we are not just lights. You know, it's good to be lights. And the Bible says we are lights. But it occurred to me, we're not just the light of the little community around us. We're the light of the world. The first fruits are the light of the whole world. It says, you are the light of the world. So we got to think bigger. This is for the whole world, for the world to see the right way. And that's why Triumph Pro is so important, because we are teaching God's ways right down to the crescent new moons and right down to the point that Jesus was crucified on a Thursday, because you can't be on trial at noon if you are already crucified at 9 a.m. And you can look that up in your Bible. So very few other denominations are also teaching the 49 days of character development in the Pentecost count. So let's put it in another perspective. We are in a kingdom and we have a king. So when you're in a kingdom, you do what the king says. You know, it says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So you are in the kingdom of God. If you keep on your ways, God has your name on one of the offices he has for you. It's just like you're going to have a baby and you get all the babies stuck together and you put the baby's name on the door. And that's what Jesus has done for you with his Father. So the point is that we do what our Father says, because he's our king. And if you love me like you say, why do you treat me like you do? You know, there are songs written about that. You turn on commercial radio, you know, if you love me like you say, why do you treat me like you do, disobeying me and my Bible? You know, I, Yeshua, wrote the Bible. I'm the Logos, the Word. If you love me like you say,
Why do you treat me and my word like you do?
Well, that should bring it home here. You see, we are sheep. We are sheep. So what happens when a sheep falls in the mud? Well, a sheep struggles to get out of the mud. But what happens if a pig falls in the mud? Well, the pig stays and wallows in the mud. Now, are you wallowing in your sin? I'm not trying to wallow in mine, and I'm trying to live just as if I was in the kingdom. And therefore, I am climbing out of the mud every day. And I don't want to be like the animal that wallows in the mud. And it also says, not only that, in the Bible it says we're the salt of the earth. Are you salt? If the salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. Good for nothing. If we stop following the Bible, we stop bearing down on this broadcast on God's truth, we're going to lose our saltiness. So there's no way we're going to back up. And remember the man, he said, we've gone too far. You just watch how far we'll go, God willing. Just watch us. We're the light of the world, not the light of all these churches of God. Sure, we've helped them to get on base, but it's of the world, the light of the world, and the salt of the earth. Not just the salt of Omak, the salt of the earth. And we reverence God and God's way. And we recognize God's way is to be respected. And we follow every jot and tittle because we love God and we stand up for Jesus. And we contend earnestly, earnestly for the faith once delivered in 30 AD. And not the faith delivered in 358 AD. So those denominations that say they're following the doctrine restored by Herbert W. Armstrong, well, they got to wake up. You've got to follow the Bible, because Mr. Armstrong did not have everything right. In fact, he changed things backwards, because he first was celebrating Sivan 6 in 1934, but by 1937, he changed it. And one of these days, I'm going to have Lindy LeBlue on the line, and she's a member who's still alive that attended in the little church house taught by Mr. Armstrong in 1934, and she's got a record of every day, and she still has one today, the last time I had seen her, of everyone's name who was in that congregation and on what day the service was held, including all of the holy days. So guess what? Linda LeBlue's record will prove that Sivan 6 was kept by Mr. Armstrong, and that it was changed in 1937. So if you're a congregation, or a congregation that you know of, tells you that they're following Mr. Armstrong's doctrine, well, they'd better get back to Pentecost on Sivan 6, because that's what was originally given to Mr. Armstrong. But they're not. They're celebrating a Pentecost on Monday. So, do you think this is not important to follow every jot and tittle? What happened with Saul? Remember, Saul had an army of 210,000 men who went after Amalek, and when the battle was going on, Saul's army fought bravely and destroyed all the Amalekites, except the king Agag, who Saul took prisoner. And after the battle ended, the soldiers looked upon all the flocks and herds that belonged to the Amalekites, and they saw some valuable cattle and sheep and playful little animals, and they said, oh, well, we'll save them and we'll kill all the others. Well, what happened next isn't too good. It says, what's this bleeding of animals that I'm hearing? Didn't I tell you to kill everything? Because God wanted to make a clean sweep. And God told Samuel what Saul had done, that Saul hadn't followed God's exact jot and tittle, and that he had dared disobeyed the commandment. And Samuel knew that Saul had turned away from serving God. So if you don't follow the crescent new moons, I say right now, you have turned away from serving God. And this is borne out by how exactly when God says to do something, we want to do it. Now I've got many pages here, and we are going to be running out of time, so I'll fast forward some of this. Now, your faith has to become tangible, and it's not just an investigative, epistemological read of the Bible for its origin, its nature, its methods, and knowledge, and not applying the Bible. And therefore, if you just have an epistemological read, you're moving in sin from one sin to another after reading the Bible. Instead, you must incorporate every word of the Bible into your own life every day for your future. And you are to mourn for your past sins of working on God's holy days too, and realize what a vile creature you were. Don't forget that you were a sinner once. You know, ethics is not ducking issues, what lies ahead of you and what lies laid behind you. You have changed now and you've repented, and that's good. And if you're a fan of God, remember, in conclusion here, if you're a fan, fan comes from the word, well, let's say you're a baseball fan or a football fan. Fan comes from the word fanatical. Are you a fan of the Bible, following the Bible because you love it? Well, be a fan of the Bible versus being a fan of people who change the Bible. So in conclusion here, we're going to turn to the last page. And Jeremiah 3:3 said, some people have a harlot's forehead. They refuse to be ashamed. Then in verse 4 it says, Father, you've been a guide from my youth. And in verse 5, you can read the rest. The point is that if you say you are a Christian, you've got to act like a Christian. And don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And that's important, because otherwise, you are not going to be in the kingdom, unless God can rule over you. So we leave you with that thought in love. And the love of God is that we keep His commandments. 1 John 5:3. And that is what true love of God is.